I want to talk to you about close encounters. Would you believe the other day I was at Best Buy and we sell DVDs and Blu-ray movies, and a young man walked up to me and he said, "Sir, do y'all carry the movie Close Encounters?" Man, I wanted to tell him, "Man, no, we don't carry that movie, but you come to Westmoreland and you can get the real deal." Hey, I wanted to so bad. Amen. Of all the times and of all the people and all the customers I've had and all the years I've worked there, I just thought it was a confirmation that we do want to have close encounters with the Lord. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. He's worthy of praise. I said he's worthy of praise. And God is inviting you. No matter your problems, no matter your pains, no matter your past, it's time for our church, and it's high time for our country, that we have close encounters with the Almighty God. Now, we've talked about the different ones that had close encounters with God. Adam, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, Job, Daniel, Isaiah, Peter, and John. And I thought about Brother Bud Tedder. And his 90th birthday today. And I thought about this man has had many close encounters with the Lord. Amen, Brother Bud. And, we just celebrate his life. And if I had time, I'd have put together a sermon, Close Encounters, Brother Bud Tedder. Amen. And I just give him his biography and we'd have preached on that. Because a good man, leaves a legacy and has a story. And we thank God for close encounters. And we all can have close encounters. That's the point of this series. We're understanding that these people like David and these people like John, these people like Peter, were people really, even though they're in the Bible, they were really people just like you and me. They had skin. They bled when they got had an accident. I mean, they got up every day like we get up. They were not special people in the sense of super people. They were just people with a super desire to have close encounters with God. And Father, tonight, give us close encounters like we've never had before. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it. Somebody say amen. Now tonight, I didn't want to leave the ladies out. And I could talk about a lot of them, but I want to talk to you tonight about close encounters and several women in the Bible who, despite their pain, despite their past, despite their sins, mistakes, or even sickness, these women had close encounters. Now, I'm going to be talking about women because I've talked about several men, but really it applies to all of us. Amen. So there's neither male nor female. But would you stand with me tonight and go to Mark chapter 7 and verse 28. Mark chapter 7, as we talk tonight about close encounters, four great women. Four great women. Mark chapter 7 and verse 28. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, say amen. Help your neighbor find it tonight. And thank you for being here on Sunday night. And thank you, Brother Ray and Sister Cricket, Brother Tom and Sister Jane, so many of the others, Brother Bill and our music team, Brother Quincy on that. You never know what Brother Quincy Hedgepeth is. Quentin Hedgepeth. There's a lady at work called Quincy, and I might get her mixed up, but I mean Quentin. Amen. So when I think of Quincy, I think of the food chain, the steakhouse that used to be. But you never know what he's going to pull out. And Brother Pearson and all the people on the sound booth, and we're just really blessed with just people who love the Lord and give of their talents. And if I missed anybody, I didn't mean to. All right. Mark chapter 7 and verse 28. And this is where I'm going to end up. So I want to start where I'm going to end. And she answered and said unto him, Jesus, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And I just want to tell you tonight, you're coming out from under that table and you're not going to be eating crumbs for much longer because you're about to have a close encounter with the Lord. Now, Father, thank you tonight once again. Anoint your servant to preach the word of God. Saturate me from head to toe, God. May we be hungry for close encounters with God, and we'll give you all the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're looking. No, don't tell them that. Tell somebody we're glad to have you tonight. Amen. I almost slipped up. Amen. Now give Jesus a hand of praise here tonight. One more time. Amen. Close encounters. When it comes to women who had close encounters, there are just so many that I could talk to you about. I could talk to you about Abraham's wife, Sarah, how she had a wonderful close encounter with the Lord, and she is a great woman of faith. I could talk to you about the prophetess Deborah. Deborah, who arose in Israel in a critical hour when men would not rise up, and how God used her to deliver a great nation. I could reference to you Timothy. In your Bible, there's the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Timothy was a pastor, and Paul wrote to him and said, Timothy, I want to remind you of the faith of your mother and the faith of your grandmother. And I think it's wonderful that Timothy's mother and grandmother had such an impact upon his life that he was a pastor in one of the early churches. I could also mention to you the four Bible Spice Girls. Now, there used to be a singing group out there in the world called the Spice Girls. Well, there are four Spice Girls in Matthew chapter 1. One of them's name is Tamar. One his name is Ruth. One his name is Rahab. And the other's name is Bathsheba. Doesn't that sound like the Spice Girls to you? I mean, those are some Spice Girl names. But when you look at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, and I'm just going through this fast, but you understand that just the fact that women were included in that genealogy was breathtaking and groundbreaking, because women were not included in genealogies ever in the official Jewish genealogy. Not one woman will ever be listed, because in the Jewish mind and in the world's mind, women were always second class and should never be referred to. And they had crazy ideas. In fact, every false religion in the world will always subjugate women. Only Christianity liberates male and female, and we stand equal. Now, we are different. A woman is a woman and a man is a man. But with that being said, and God's using of men and women, and listen, you women are the best at being a woman, and you men are the best at being men, and let God work through you just like He made you, and you can have a close encounter with the Lord. Amen. But just the fact that four women in Matthew chapter 1, Tamar, a woman who committed sexual sin. Ruth was a pagan worshiper of idols. Rahab also was a streetwalker before she came to faith. And then Bathsheba had an affair on her husband while he was fighting in the army. Now, don't you know that's the lowest of the low? While your husband's out there fighting for your country, you're taking relations with a married man. So how can God list these four women after all they did and the things they messed up and the choices they made? Well, see, that's not the end of the story. Before their story was over, Ruth and Tamar and Rahab and Bathsheba became great women of faith, and they were actually grandmothers of our physical Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't care what your past is. Forget it. Leave it behind there. Today is a new day. God can use you to do mighty things and have close encounters. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? I could talk about Mary, the mother of our Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Blessed art thou among women. And we get the phrase blessed and highly favored because of Mary, the mother of our Lord. All of these are women who had great close encounters with the Lord. But I want to highlight four other women tonight, maybe that you don't think about. And three of them, I don't have their names, because in a sense, I'm covering all women. No matter the name, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've been through, you can identify with these four women tonight. How many of you ladies, just ladies, how many of you want to have a close encounter with the Lord? Let me ask you ladies something. How many of you believe that you can have a close encounter with the Lord? Can you say amen tonight? The first great woman I want to talk to you about tonight is the woman Hannah. Everybody say Hannah. Everybody say hello, Hannah. This comes from the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And you don't have to go there. You can read it at home. But we find a woman who could not have a child. Her and her husband could not conceive. Now, it's bad enough when a couple wants to have children and they can't have children. I was talking with a couple earlier today that said, pray for us. We are wanting to have children. We've been married several years. Our former youth pastor, Jonathan Regina, they've been praying for years and have not not yet been able to have children. And it's a tough thing mentally and psychologically. But in the Jewish world where Hannah lived, it was even worse. Back in those days, in the Jewish mind, if a woman could not have a baby, she was looked down upon. She was frowned upon. Her husband had a legal right to divorce her. And other women would say things like, she must be not the woman she needs to be. She must not, God must, she must have sin or some crazy things like that. And so she could not have a child in this culture, and it wore upon her. And to make it worse, as if it could get any worse, she was in a polygamous marriage. And for those of you that went to East Carolina, polygamous marriage means there was more than two wives. Come on now. All right. So not only could she not have children, but her husband's other wife was just popping them out every 9 months. Had to be heartbreaking for her. I mean, she had to feel lower than the dirt. She could have questioned God. Why me? But the Bible says she found her way to the altar. And she took her pain to the Lord. In fact, the preacher thought she was drunk. You know, sometimes men just don't get it, ladies, do they? And sometimes men are clueless. Come on, ladies. You can say amen tonight. Men, you just be quiet tonight. Just say amen sporadically, all right? But I'm just here to tell you, the preacher missed it. Her husband missed it. In fact, her husband, I like when I preach on Hannah, you know, when she went to her husband and was so upset, I can't have children. Her husband said, am I not better to thee than 10 children? I wish she would have just slapped him right there, because he didn't get it. He didn't get it, you know. He was just a clueless man. And ladies, every now and then, men and preachers and co-workers and family are going to talk down to you, look down to you. They're just not going to get what's going on in your life. But I'm here to tell you, you come to the altar and you pour your soul out to the Lord. And you have a close encounter with God. And I promise you, it'll shake the nations of the earth. It'll shake your family. It'll do something mighty for you. Because let me tell you something, God heard her prayer, and the priest said, I've got a word from the Lord for you. And I've come here to tell you tonight, I've got a word from the Lord for some of you tonight. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And you may be going through the valley, but I'm telling you, that's what's happening. You're going through it because you're going to get to it. God has heard your cry, and I don't care what other people are. Everybody else may be having things. Everybody else may be having babies. Everybody else may be doing well, and I may be feel left behind, but God's not going to leave me behind. I'm about to have a close encounter with the Lord God Almighty. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on and give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. By the way, while I'm on the subject, somebody may listen to this. Somebody may be listening right now, because we live in a lot of skepticism and people trying to run the Bible down. And every now and then you run into these people that like, well, evidently it's okay to have more than one spouse. Evidently those men in the Bible, they had more than one spouse. Well, let me tell you something right here and right now. God may have allowed some things, but God never approved of polygamous marriage. Never. He never did it. No, never. If they did it, it was their choice. You see, how do we know that? Well, when God first made a man, he didn't say, I'm going to give you five or six. He said, I'm going to give you one. And oh, brother, that's about all you can handle, I promise you. It reminds me of the little boy. The little boy, the Sunday school teacher, was talking about the first surgery that was ever done and how Adam went to sleep and God took a rib out of his side and made a woman. And he got home that afternoon and he felt bad on his stomach and his side was hurting. And his mother, not knowing about the Sunday school lesson, said, son, what's the matter with you? He said, Mama, I think I'm having a wife. Let me tell you in Mark chapter 10 and verse 7, when Jesus said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He didn't say a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wives. He said wife. That is one man and one woman. If you want to be a bishop in the New Testament, a leader and a Christian leader, Paul said it plainly and clearly, you must be the husband of one wife. Polygamy is a sin. If there's anybody married to more than, or bigamy, if anybody's married to more than one, you are sinning and you need to repent and you need to let God straighten it out. Somebody say amen tonight. Not only is it a sin, but I'll tell you what, it's stupid too. I said the word stupid. I know that's not what you're supposed to say. I mean, two women, come on. Think about this. If you buy her clothes, she'll say this. Do I look like a size 16? If you try out to outsmart her and get a small size, here's what she'll say. I haven't worn that in 20 years. And then don't even think about buying your wife jewelry, guys. Because the jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can afford, she doesn't want. And finally, don't spend too much. Because if you spend too much, how do you think we're going to afford that? And then if you spend too little, she'll say, is that all I'm worth? Guys, it is just plain dumb. You got all you can handle, one man and one woman. Why don't we celebrate the way God intended it? And if you're married tonight and praise God for it, why don't we praise the Lord for one man and one woman and close encounters in our marriages? Come on, give him a hand to pray. If you're married, you better start clapping. And Hannah got before the Lord and she prayed and she took her burden to the Lord. And she gave birth several months later to a little boy. God answered her prayer. And she gave birth to Samuel. And she said, I'm going to give that child back to God. And she left Samuel and then went on and became a mother of other children. And you may feel like you're rejected. You may feel like you're not loved. You may feel like you're second class, that you can't produce. But you can have a close encounter just like Hannah. Somebody say amen. The second great woman is a woman that we don't even know her name. She's known in the Bible, point two, as the woman with the issue of blood. Look at Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. She was a sick woman. She had physical issues. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48. If you're there, say amen. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, which spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could she be healed. Go to verse 44. She came behind Jesus and touched the border or the hem of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And verse 45, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? And verse 46, and Jesus said, say that word. Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter. I love that. Daughter. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Man, you talk about a close encounter with God. And she was hurting and she was physical. And it doesn't matter what the exact issue was. She just had an issue. And we all have issues, don't we? Amen. It doesn't matter what her condition was. That's irrelevant for the point. The point is that she tried everything. The Bible says she went to all physicians. She must have been a woman of means, a woman of wealth. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. And you've got to understand that in those days, doctors are not like the doctors of our day. The doctors of our day are held to a high standard. The doctors of our days are under authority and under boards. And if you have a doctor that gives you a wrong diagnosis and causes something to be wrong in your life, that is a major crime. And doctors, the doctors that we are used to, for the most part, there's always a bad apple in every cart, but for the most part, we are blessed with physicians for their own safety, for their own prosperity. It's to their best interest to give you the best treatment possible, but not so in her day. Doctors back then were charlatans. Doctors back then would try things and take money only to get worse. And my friend, I'm here to tell you, there are so many things that people go to, and they try drugs, and they try this, and they try to get their mind off of it, and drink, and alcohol, and all of these things. But I'm here to tell you, you're just pouring your money out. You're just wasting your time. You're not going to get any better. It's going to get worse until you come not to the physician, but until you come to the great physician. And I promise you that doctor, the doctor Jesus, he's going to minister to you. He will make a difference, and you can reach out and touch him. And I promise you, virtue and power is flowing in this service tonight, and you can try it all. But why don't you try Jesus? Amen. Reach out and touch him tonight. Women, come on, ladies, reach out and touch Jesus. And I want to say this tonight. I feel when I was putting this message together, there are some people listening, and there are people watching, that you feel like it's getting worse and not better. Have you ever been in that time in your life? You just seem like, what else can go wrong? I'm trying my best. I've paid my tithes. I've come to church. I've read my Bible. Let me tell you something. Things are not getting worse. If you know Jesus, and if you're trusting him, you, as of tonight, here's what I'm going to say. I want you to tell your neighbor this. As of tonight, if you touch the hem of his garment, will you do it? Come on. Will you touch him? Come on. He's passing by. Woo! He's passing by tonight. If you'll just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. I like where it says the hem of his garment. You know what a hem is. You know, you get a pair of pants and those robes that they had, are just like our pants, and they have to be hemmed. And somebody said a hem is where the loose pieces come together. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it's all coming together. If you'll reach out and touch him, I promise you that everything that had been getting worse is going to turn around. And Brother Schuyler, it's going to start getting better. I said it's going to start getting better. Tell your neighbor it's going to start getting better, because I've touched the hem of his garment. And I like what he said. He said, somebody has touched me. You're not a nobody. You're not a nobody. You are a somebody. I am somebody in his body. I want you to know he knows my name. He knows my frame. And if I reach out and touch him, he's already ready to reach out and touch me back. Well, why don't you give him another hand of praise? We're putting the pieces together. Close encounters. Close encounters. Those issues can be resolved when you have close encounters with God. Say amen. And then there's another woman I want to talk to you about. And this woman, we don't know her name either. And this woman is really a fictitious woman. She's part of a parable. But I thought I would, most people don't think about her, but let's talk about in Luke chapter 18. And I'm not going to read that parable to you. I'm just going to remind you that Jesus was talking about a woman who came to the judge's house and banged on the door at midnight. And just pound it on the door and say, I need help. Avenge me of my adversary. And any of you ladies had an adversary? Don't raise your hand. It could be a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of situations. She said, avenge me of my adversary. She went, and notice the time she went. She went at midnight. She didn't wait until 9 o'clock the next morning when the judge got in. She had a pressing need. She had an urgent need, and she knew where the judge lived. Hallelujah. She knew his address. Amen. Can you imagine, you know, sometimes these crazy protesters, they'll find the address of a senator, and they'll go and protest in front of their house. I mean, that's crazy. That's kind of scary. Amen. And Supreme Court justices, they have to keep their residence because, you know, if they make a judgment that people don't like, man, people can come and try to give them grief. But this woman obviously took the time to find out where he was. And so it got a lot in that parable there. And I want you to know that she cried out. She pounded on the door. And Jesus said, here's this judge laying in bed. Pound, pound, pound. What's that? Do you hear that? Pound, 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 pound. And the Bible says that this judge don't care for that woman, doesn't care about her problem. All he cares about is his comfortable bed. All he cares about is peace and quiet. He's not interested in her. He don't want to help her. But he says, you know what? I'm going to just get rid of this woman. And so he gets up in the middle of the night, and he goes out there and says, lady, what can I do for you? And Jesus is telling a story. He's saying, if that unjust judge was willing to get up and help this person he never knew, how much more will the just judge of the universe arise in any day or any night who does know you, who does care for you. Amen. Now, my mother's here tonight, and I promise you that at 3 o'clock in the morning, if Brother Ray goes knocking on her front door, she's gonna have our sister, Brother Ray, Sister Julie, and they run out of gas and they pound on the door. Now, Mama will help you, but I'll tell you what, it'd be different if I knock on that door. That's my mama. Amen. And she's going to rise up and she's going to be like, what can I do? Do you understand you're a daughter of God Almighty? Do you understand that He is your heavenly Father? Do you understand that it's midnight in this world? Do you understand? Listen, she had no promise, but you've got 30,000 promises. She had no relationship. We have a relationship with God. She had no rights. Did you know in that day, women had absolutely no rights? Please understand, these people talk about Christianity and women and blah, 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 and they all try to make a... Let me tell you something. Christianity liberates women. It was, and by the way, the first eyewitnesses to the resurrection were women. And that was on purpose, brother. You know why? Because in a court of law, women could not be testify at all. Their testimony was not included on the legal record. Women had no rights. They could not own property. They could not go to school. They were treated so low. But listen, she had no rights. But you women today, you've got rights. You've got the word of God. Amen. She had no guarantee that he was going to get up, but I promise you, before you call upon him, he will answer you. Before you say, I need you, he'll say, here I am. She didn't have a Bible, but brother and sister, you have a Bible tonight in your hands. This is my Bible. Go boldly to the throne of grace. She didn't have the Holy Ghost, but ladies, you've got the Holy Ghost. She didn't have a personal prophecy, but you've got a word from the Lord tonight that you can call on the judge, and he'll make it all right. Amen. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Like Hannah, you may be in a bad marriage. Like the woman with the issue, you've got issues, pain, physical problems. Like the woman that I just talked to you about, who we don't even know her name, knocking and on that door. You keep knocking and asking and believing. And I'm telling you, you'll have a close encounter with the Lord. Now, let me give you the last woman here tonight, and then we'll pray. And we don't know her name either. Could be your name. Who knows? The Syrophoenician woman. And that's a long name. That's all we know. Syrophoenician, because of the area in Palestine called Syrophoenicia. She was a woman from Syrophoenicia. Go to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Any of you ladies want to have a close encounter with the Lord tonight? Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And by the way, I should have saved this for Women's Ministries Day a couple of Sundays from now. I didn't even think about that. Amen. So this is your pre-Women's Ministries Day message from a man. Come on. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. We'll let the women preach on that Sunday. All right. And by the way, I do believe in women preachers. And I do believe it, that the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, all of those women can fulfill those roles. They're all in the Bible. My great grandmother was a pastor. The earliest pastor that I ever had was a woman. So, you know, how can I deny all the Spirit of God that I felt in the little church that she pastored? Now I know there's issues of authority and things of that nature, and men and women have certain roles and different things. And I definitely believe in that as well. Nobody should shirk the authority of a pastor. Can I get a witness out there? And so, but at the same time, that role, we're not submitting to a body or a human, we're submitting to that role. Amen. So if I have a woman pastor over me, I submit to that role that she is the pastor. Come on now. Don't get too hyper spiritual to me. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You come too late to tell me. God, he said there is, when it comes to spiritual giftings, your young men, on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. I believe that women can preach and prophesy and do the works of the Lord. And we should all, the first, and getting back to the resurrection, that legal testimony, God allowed those women to see the resurrection to forever let him know that I can use the testimony of any man or any woman that has been with the Lord. Amen. The Syrophoenician woman, Mark chapter 7, and I'm coming to a close. I just realized I got to play the piano too. All right. So this might be longer than you realize. Amen. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. If you're there, say amen. And from thence he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Verse 25. For a certain woman, somebody say a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Listen to this. A woman who had a daughter with an unclean spirit heard him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now notice this, verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, say those two words. Yes, Lord. Are we there? Verse 28. And she said, and he answered, said unto him, say it all together. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And this is where we started tonight. Told you we were going to end here. And he said unto her, for thy saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. She was a single mother. She was a single mother. God understands the cries of single parents. Sometimes it's men. Most of the time it's women. Sometimes it's through choices. Sometimes it's through mistakes. But whatever. A mother trying to raise a child. It's hard. It's difficult. It does take two. And we encourage young men and young women, do not have children out of wedlock. I'm just going to use Jack and Jill sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes, then comes, and here comes Jill with a... Now, that's not in the Bible, but it is good truth anyway. Amen? Because we do it reverse. We get the baby carriage first, and then we have the marriage 4 or 5 years later, and kids are thrown about and they have to be drugged to be calmed down because the daddy's not there to give stability and to give order and discipline in the house. And mother, it takes a man and a woman. It is God's way of raising children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we got to start preaching this morning. We got to start saying, hey, a lot of the problems we have, social problems, and listen, it can be traced back to just do what God says. We believe firmly that some of the abortion that we deal with, a lot of that could be prevented if we would raise high the standard that there's no sex before marriage. Say amen, somebody. Now, we know things are going to happen. We know people are going to be people. We know mistakes are going to be made. And with all that being said, yes, the church comes in. And yes, we offer grace and help to those single parents for whatever the purpose. Amen? And oh, she was a single mom. And The Bible says she had a daughter that was sick. The Bible says she was actually possessed with a demon. But I'm just going to say she was sick, which is a form of sickness, demon possession. And she was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. Now let's talk about this for a moment. Jews were very, very clannish. They felt like they were it. And they said, you're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. And they called the Gentiles dogs. And so this Gentile woman comes to Jesus, who's a Jew, and says, "My, I've heard you can heal, and my daughter needs to be healed." And he says, let's go back to that scripture. He says, verse 27, Mark chapter 7, verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to..." Woo! Now, Jesus, what in the world are you talking about here? You calling that woman a dog? No, he's not. But I will tell you this. She had every right to stomp out of his office. "He just called me a dog. How dare he?" Now, I'm getting ready to preach here, so you put your seatbelt on because we're getting ready to go down real fast, all right? And then we're going to go up real quick, all right? She could have easily huffed off. The point I'm trying to make is this. Don't be so quick-tempered. Don't be so easily offended. Don't give up when somebody's talked down upon you. Don't let your identity be in what other people say. Now, Jesus was not calling her a dog. He was just testing her faith. And I actually believe, Brother Philip, he was saying this to straighten up those disciples. I wanted him, what's not written in the gospel is probably the meeting after the meeting and say, "Hey, fellas, wasn't that the dumbest thing to call her a dog?" "Yeah, yeah, because we should never call anybody a dog. Come on now, can I get a witness out here tonight? This might have been a lesson to show, hey, nobody is a dog. We're all children of the Most High God." Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. Are you with me here? Oh, but she said, but even the dogs, that's all right, Jesus. I'll just go ahead and own up to it. Yeah, I'm a dog. But even I got a little puppy at my house, and she thought about that little puppy. Have you ever been to somebody's house? Let me get up here so you can get me on camera. Hallelujah. But have you ever been to somebody's house? And I don't have pets. Darnell has a cat. Notice I said Darnell has a cat. But I've been to people's house sometime, and you'd pull up to the table like Brother Bird, my mentor, and by the time we pulled up to the table, I'd feel something on my leg, and I'd look down, and there was a little dog. Are y'all with me? And I mean, I'm like, man, I personally don't like that. Now, y'all may like it. I know we all live in trailer parks here. I know you like it. I know you do. It's fine with me. If it's fine, whatever floats your boat. But let me just tell you, that dog was expecting. That dog had his tongue out. And Brother Bird, get that piece of turkey and throw it down there. And that dog would eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. Oh, my friend, is anybody out here hungry for a touch of glory? Is anybody here need their children healed? Is anybody out here need a close encounter? Are you at the table tonight? Come and dine, the master calleth. You don't have a crumb. He's not going to throw it to you. You're a daughter. You're a son of the Most High God. You're at the table like Mephibosheth. And you're eating with the king tonight. And whatever you need, you can have a close encounter with the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. I don't care what nationality you are. We've got more than crumbs. We've got more than crumbs. We've got the full menu. I wrote in my notes here. Watch this. Brother Ricky, come to the piano. All right. I'm getting ready to go. I like this. Stand with me. This is good. This is good. I'm going to end on a good note. I'm hungry for another touch of glory. Ladies, do you want a close encounter with the Lord? Have you got some children that need to be healed? Are you a single mom or a single dad? Are you facing some issues in your life? You just need to reach out and touch him. Amen. Amen. Are people tormenting you? Are people not getting what you really need? But let me tell you something. She said, even the dogs eat the crumb. Oh, Jensen Franklin said that crumb was the crumb of healing. But let me tell you, we've got more than a crumb. You see, our father, listen to this, our father owns Food Lion. Our father owns Piggly Wiggly. Our father owns the Sunbeam vans that drive by. Amen? I tell you, we've got more than a crumb. Our Father says, give us this day our daily bread, and He will meet our need according to His riches in glory. A close encounter. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. Every praise is to our God. Come on, Pastor. Every word of worship. And what a corn. Every praise. That'll get you more than a crumb. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Every praise, every praise. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior, sing it. God, my Savior.
Glory.
God, I've got more than a crumb tonight. God, my Deliverer. Oh, yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior. God, my Healer. God, my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Pastor, I want all the ladies to come. And I want us to pray for Lene. Lene's been having some seizures. But I want every woman, if you want a close encounter with the Lord, every woman, not for yourself, if you want to come for others, but I want every woman to come down, and we want to pray with you and pray for you. We celebrate you. We know God's working in ladies. Come on, ladies. Do you want a close encounter with the Lord? Lene needs a touch from the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, God,
I like what Lene wrote to me. She handed me a note this morning. She said, my mom wants to pray for me together. Amen. I've been looking for her, and I saw her out there in the hallway. But, you know, when you look at this in Matthew's account, woman with the issue of blood, with the Syrophoenician woman, she said, what she was saying is there's enough power in a crumb.
That's right.
You get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But see, we're not alienated. We're children. We get the children's bread. My daughter called me today, and she was sick. And she said, Daddy, I want you to pray for me. And that's something wonderful about prayer. Because when we pray, we go to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus. And God said, if there's any sick among you, anoint with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And you're surrounded by people that love you. You're surrounded by a church that cares for you. Sister Julia, if you would come, please. And I know you've prayed a lot of prayers, but I'm going to take that seizure, and I'm going to command that thing to go. I command that spirit
yes.
that brings epilepsy, seizures, go in the name of Jesus. And now lay your hands on and minister to a sister. Father, we just praise you. Lord, no more seizures. Lord, that thing is a spirit. And we take authority in the spirit world. Glory to God. And we command its power broken by the power of the blood. And the blood declares your victory, Lene. And we declare your victory in Jesus' mighty name. Now I want you to raise your hands. Raise your hands to the Lord. Raise them up. And I want you to work with me. Say, Jesus, thank you. No more seizures.
I
am free.
I am free.
You have freed me. And I praise you.
Praise
and I thank
Lord,
you that I'm healed.
I'm free.
I belong to you.
No
and
longer
I'm yours.
Bound.
Your healing power. It belongs to me.
No more change.
Take it.
Woo!
Glory.
Me.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free.
I want you ladies to lean here. Sister
free.
Scott, come back, come back, come back. All the ladies get in this altar.
Praise the Lord.
He's preached about
I'm
close
free.
Encounters for the women tonight.
No longer bound.
I want you to have that close encounter. Hallelujah. Brother Ray, if you would come, please. I want you to start at the other end. Take his oil and anoint those legs.
My soul is resting.
We'll just meet in the middle. Hallelujah. We're going to anoint them.
It's just a blessing.
They will have a close encounter. That the Lord will come more precious, more real. And Lord, in those private chambers. Oh, Rabasha Kabushita. Rebo, take it. Rabakasha Tarabaya. Glory to God, Lord, that more revelation. Glory to God. Lord, we just anoint fresh oil, fresh anointing. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh revelation, fresh anointing, the glory of God, understanding. Hallelujah. But I lay my hands on Samantha. I release your power and your glory. And we just praise you for that close encounter. And Lord, we just pray for families. Hallelujah. And Lord, I just thank you for a fresh anointing to pray.